This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming up on The Drive in 15 minutes, we will debut a new game. It is a game that we might play periodically. We'll see how it goes. We'll do that coming up in 15 minutes to get you ready for Chiefs and Bills. Sometimes the text line adds tangible value to the show. This texter maybe sent the best text that we have received this football season. I'm mad at myself for not thinking of it. Text line 913-576-7610. I look at Josh Allen as being a more athletic Blake Bortles. What he's doing this year kind of reminds me of 2017 Blake Bortles. If you put a couple of good wide receivers around him and give him a capable running game, it's a lot like Blake Bortles in 2017. Do you think this is a fair thing to say about Josh Allen? Because you're a lot higher on Josh Allen than I am.
Probably not. I mean, Blake Bortles was weird because he was a high draft pick, so it's not like he completely came out of nowhere like Tom Brady or anything like that. And then he had that one really, really good year. What do you have, like 32 touchdowns and 13 picks, something like that. Took his team to an AFC championship game. Before that, he was very average. And then after that, he was very terrible. I don't think that's a fair comparison for Josh Allen, because Josh Allen, his first year, he wasn't good. And then last year, he was pretty damn impressive. Now, the numbers aren't going to blow you away, but I always judge my quarterback on did he win or lose football games, and he won a bunch of football games, and they got to the postseason. And this year, the numbers tell us that he's definitely, by the numbers, playing like a top three quarterback. His numbers are actually on pace to be very similar to Patrick Mahomes' MVP season. So, yeah, I mean, Josh Allen, to me, has and always has had a higher upside than Blake Bortles ever did.
Speaking of Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles is starting to follow the same career path as Tom Brady as he is managing his team into the AFC Championship and eventually into the Super Bowl.
You didn't think we were going to talk about Blake Bortles and I wasn't going to play that, right? You thought I was going to let that go on? Come on now. You thought I wasn't going to play this?
Blake Bortles is starting to follow the same career path as Tom Brady.
I'll never get over that. So, would make me laugh every single time that was a real thing that was said on this radio station.
We all
station.
Know you're going to play it. If Griffey Jr. comes up, we're going to hear from Ron. We're going to hear from Mike. If Blake Bortles' name comes up, that's what happens. And to the person who texted it, Le'Veon Bell's never played in a playoff game. I'm reading the article right now from the Kansas City Star.
You got to read the article. I was at the game.
Le'Veon Bell, 170 yards.
It's wrong. I don't even acknowledge 30 carries.
You don't remember the 1860 win over the Chiefs? Yes, Le'Veon Bell has been in the postseason.
Now, I do think that Blake Bortles is a bad comparison. I do get it from an athletic standpoint.
I thought
because
you loved that text.
No, I thought it was a good text. I think it's a really good observation. I think that Josh Allen is a better passer than Blake Bortles. I think his ceiling is a lot higher, especially with what we've seen so far this season. I will say what I'm really curious about is right now, I think the passing numbers and the offensive numbers in the NFL are a little bit out of whack. Like, I'm not as interested in playing the on pace game as maybe as much as you are. If that's the case, then Russell Wilson's going to throw 70 touchdown passes this year. And I don't think anybody thinks Russell Wilson's going to do that. So at some point, the same way in 2018, the numbers are going to regress a little bit and the cream is going to rise to the top. The cream always rises to the top in the NFL. So I'm really curious to see once defense has started to adjust and once the weather gets cold, what's a quarterback like Josh Allen going to look like? And it's just really hard for me because I think what happens is everybody is focused on interception numbers with Josh Allen. And it's impressive. He's only thrown 3 interceptions so far this season. He threw 9 last year. He has thrown 12 interceptions in his last 21 games. But as you always say, we got to tell the full story. He's fumbled the ball 25 times in his career.
That's crazy. What the hell? How could that happen?
That's a turnover too. So yes, we can take touchdown to interception ratio, but if we're going to really give you the full picture of Josh Allen, he is a fumble machine that it's just really hard for me to trust that individual. And we were just talking about a little bit ago, if we're going to make the list and say the top 3 quarterbacks in the NFL are Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers, it's hard for me to say the next quarterback after that group is Josh Allen. I'm just not at that point.
I don't think that Russell Wilson's going to have 70 touchdowns like you talked about. I think he might have 60. Like, I do believe that whole pace thing. When you've got a quarterback that's that good and that proven, and for Patrick Mahomes, like you're saying that he tapered off his MVP season. Yeah, I mean, he had 6 touchdowns in it. What, he had 4 touchdowns his first game, 6 in his second game. So, yeah, he didn't stay at that pace, but he did end up with 50 touchdown passes.
I'm saying Mahomes played at that pace, and even when the cream started to rise to the top, Mahomes continued to be a top 3 quarterback, and we know that. Like, we could probably go back to week 4 of that season and be like, oh, look at this quarterback and the pace that he was at, because the numbers were so completely out of whack. That's the same thing I think is happening this year with no preseason. The tackling is bad. I mean, it's like 9 defenses in the NFL that are average or that are giving up 30 points or more so far this season. I just think that the numbers are way skewed to offense. So if you're a quarterback like Josh Allen and you get good protection, you get good wide receivers, like, this is a tremendous jump you've seen from him. Last year, he completed 58% of his passes. He's at 69%. Last year, his yards per attempt was 6.7. It's at 8.4 this year.
And so what do you not believe in? So what do you not believe in those numbers?
I think the other shoe was going to drop with Josh Allen. I think we started to see it against Tennessee. I think the other shoe was going to drop with Josh Allen. I think it started with Tennessee. I think it's going to continue against Kansas City. He's not coming out against this defense. Number one, I think this defense is going to be better against the run. I don't think Buffalo can really run the football very effectively. I also look at the injuries that they have. I think Kansas City is going to do a really good job against Josh Allen. Right now, if you're asking me, I don't know what his over-under to prop bet is. I bet that he throws under 300 yards. I bet that they turn him over once or twice in this game. I think Kansas City's defense sort of regresses to the norm and goes back and bounces back. I think they play really well against Allen on Monday.
I'm looking at his over-under is 299. So the question is, will he throw for 300 or not? And you're taking the over. And then his turnovers is 1.5.
I would take the over.
Take the over on that one? One fumble, one pick?
I think so.
Yeah, that sounds about right to me. Would you take Josh? I know you're a big Jared Goff fan, much more so than me. Who would you rather have, Goff or Allen?
I think Jared Goff's a better player than Josh Allen.
See, I think I'm going to roll the dice on Josh Allen, only because with Jared Goff, I feel like he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. He's a top 10 quarterback. You're right. He's probably like number 10. I think he's hit his ceiling. With Josh Allen, the difference between you and I are maybe I don't feel like you're giving him enough credit, or you don't believe in the leap that he's made between year 2 and year 3. I think that we see that a lot in the NFL. Like what Pat did right out the gate is the exception to the rule. Most guys do what Josh Allen did, which is 10 touchdowns, 12 picks his first season. Then last year, and the team was bad. Then last year, 20 touchdowns, 9 picks. Not great numbers, but the team was pretty good. And then this year, he's taking that next step. Like, I tend to believe in what I'm seeing.
Okay, so, you know what? I have a toss-up question for that. Rob, hit my music. I'm waiting for my music.
He said, Rob, hit my damn music.
All right. You love playing this game with Patrick Mahomes. Let's play it. You're a believer in Josh Allen. You got
more of a believer than you, yeah.
You got Josh Allen as the 4th best quarterback in the NFL. You got Lamar Jackson as the 5th best quarterback in the NFL. You got Deshaun Watson as being the what best quarterback in the NFL? Like 11, somewhere in that range?
10.
I said
that Jared Goff was 10, so let's put him at 11.
Okay, so you have 3 quarterbacks in the top 11. Let's play this game. Moving forward, so I'll even eliminate Patrick Mahomes being one up on this group. Who goes to more Super Bowls between now and the end of their careers? Patrick Mahomes in the blue corner. I will give you Josh Allen, your 4th best quarterback in the league. Lamar Jackson, your 5th best quarterback in the league. And Watson, your 11th best quarterback in the league. So I'm not even going to factor in that Mahomes already has one on all 3 of these individuals. Mahomes Super Bowl appearances moving forward. Allen, Jackson, and Watson Super Bowl appearances moving forward. Because I guess I throw that out there. If you believe in this version of Josh Allen, he is going to a Super Bowl. This quarterback right now completing 70% of his passes, not turning the football over, averaging 8.5 yards per attempt. He doesn't go to zero Super Bowls in his career. He goes to one or two.
Alan Jackson, the country star?
You get Alan Jackson and Deshaun Watson, so all three of their Super Bowl appearances against Mahomes. You got Mahomes going to 19 of these things, so I imagine you're going to pick Mahomes. But I'll give you the best quarterback in the AFC, and I'll give you the second, third, and fourth best quarterback in the AFC.
Well, here's the thing. If you would have gave me the top three or four quarterbacks in the NFC, I would have taken Pat easily. But if it's not Pat, and I don't think that Pat's going to get there every single year of his career. I know that I'm a Patrick Mahomes honk and then a Patrick Mahomes defender, and I point out that if the coin takes another half a rotation in the 2 years that he's played, he's probably been to two Super Bowls already, but I digress. I don't think he's going to get there every single year. So the years that he doesn't get there,
you would think it's one of these three guys.
It's probably one of these three guys. Mm-hmm. So I want to play your game, but I'll take a push. Like, I think it's very, very close because
nah, you got to pick here. I ain't letting you off this easy.
Who goes to more, Pat or these other three guys?
Then
I'm taking Pat because there's a chance that 3 years down the line, Lamar Jackson is either hurt or his style has been figured out in the NFL. And the reason I say that is because there's never been a long-term quarterback that's won a Super Bowl or even been to a Super Bowl that I can think of that plays the style of Lamar Jackson. So you might be able to eliminate him. With Deshaun Watson, you know I've never been a big believer. And I keep talking about the step back that he's taken instead of the step forward. So if you set his over-under right now at going to one Super Bowl, I'll probably take the under. So that takes those two guys out of the equation. Josh Allen, I agree with you. I think Josh Allen probably does get to a Super Bowl or two. There's still a huge gap between Pat and himself. So I think I'll take Pat getting to more Super Bowls between those three guys combined. If you want to throw Joe Burrow in there and Tua and a couple of these AFC young quarterbacks,
these three,
then we can have a real conversation. But I don't know if Lamar Jackson, frankly, if it's not this year or next year, and Deshaun Watson ever really turn into the guy that we've been talking. Like, we've been pretending like Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson are in the same conversation. They're not even in the same stratosphere.
Rob, which one would you take? You can take from this point moving forward. You have Pat Super Bowl appearances, or I'll give you Alan Jackson and Deshaun Watson. Who goes to more Super Bowls, Pat or those other three?
I'm thinking the other three. It's just it's a numbers game. I'm getting three quarterbacks. I agree with Sean. I don't think Mahomes is going to 19 or 20 of these. I think there's going to be years where he eventually does not go to the Super Bowl, and it's going to be one of those three guys that gets him. I'm probably closer to Sean on my belief in Josh Allen. So I'm probably more on his side with that.
Well,
so
the numbers game, though, Rob, it's like KU basketball. You can have KU basketball to win the Big 12 the next 10 years, and you can also have West Virginia, Texas, and Oklahoma State.
I think it's different with the Big 12 versus Super Bowl. I think this would be like KU to make a Final Four or the Big 12 to make a Final Four as
Patrick
the field.
Patrick Mahomes is KU basketball.
I'm taking the field. So I'm going to take the three quarterbacks. I think it's close. I think it's probably like 5-4 or 4-3, but I'll take the three quarterbacks.
Coming up next, we will debut a new game. 913-576-7610. Have you guys heard of American Idol? Well, we play Drive Idol next.
The Drive. Weekdays 2-6.
That was maybe my favorite commercial that we've ever heard on this station. That was so good. I wish we could just play that on loop for the rest of the day. We could just go home.
It's hard to get our traffic guy to crack up a little bit.
Oh, that was good. That was really, really good. This is the game we're going to play today.
Remember the backup traffic girl? She was just like,
she couldn't read.
There's some cars on the road. Be careful. That's traffic.
She read like Floyd Mayweather. She was terrible at it. This is the game we're going to play here. It's called Chiefs Idol. So Le'Veon Bell, I don't know if many of you know this or not. He is a rapper, too, in his free time. You guys have heard Bashaud Breeland rap on this show.
Got caught with the gas and they put me on suspension.
So this is what we have done. We have cut new Breeland raps.
New Breeland raps.
We have new Le'Veon Bell raps.
Oh, my.
I have not heard these. Rob can attest. I have not heard either one of these songs. You have not heard either one of these songs. We're going to hear them all together for the first time because I would imagine that nobody has heard any of these songs before. And we're going to play Chiefs American Idol and establish if they're good rappers or not. Are you excited to play Chiefs Idol?
I haven't been this excited since Ruben Studdard won actual American Idol.
Let's start with the champion, Breeland.
Dribbled up, breezy dribbled up, breezy dribbled down.
I be saucing, I be cooling, I be saucing, I be cooling, I be saucing, I be cooling, I be moving. I get the bag, I get it fast, and I influence. But I be saucy, I be cooling, I be moving.
Yeah, I be moving. Breezy dribbled up, breezy dribbled down.
I be saucing, I be cooling in that island.
I act a fool on them all if they dialing.
Yeah, if they dialing.
No disrespect, the only rule up on this island.
No.
Better use your GPS before you get rerouted.
Okay, all right.
That's, why, that's why he's the champ.
I think we heard enough.
That's why he's the champ.
All I know is that he be cooling. I don't know really anything else about it. You could hear
he be, saucing.
You
be
could smell the marijuana through the speakers of that song. I mean, so much weed was being rolled.
Smelled like some OG Kush to me.
During that record. All right. That was Bashaud Breeland. That was cooling. I'm giving that a negative 3.2. What are you giving that song?
What is this, on a 5-point scale or a 10-point scale?
On any scale. It's a negative 3.2.
No, I'm giving that a solid 6. I think that, yeah, I thought
all right.
It wasn't as good as his original stuff, but I be saucing, I be cooling, I be saucing, I be cooling.
Rob, what are you giving that song on a scale from 1 to 10?
That's going to score, I'm going to give it a real point score, not negative. It's going to get like a 2.5 from me.
Okay, a 2.5. All right, that was Bashaud Breeland. Let's hear Le'Veon Bell's rap. We heard Breeland. Let's hear the challenger, Le'Veon Bell.
What you couldn't do, I got a backbone. Oh yeah, I'm taking they bags, ain't got no match. And when it comes to this cash, I need it back. I'ma take they money with no mask. Money with no mask. Money with no mask on. I'ma take they money with no mask. Money with no mask. Money with no mask on. 50 mil, 60 mil, 90 mil. Just on the field, but no, this not a slave deal.
All right, that is Le'Veon Bell. I think we heard enough from Le'Veon Bell. It sounded like he was talking into a fan. I want to say this for everybody who has ever made fun of rap music. Those two validate everything you've ever said about it. I would never listen to any of them again in my free time. You know what? I'm still going to give the edge to Le'Veon Bell here. Not by much. I gave Bashaud Breeland a negative 3.2. I'm giving Le'Veon Bell a negative 3.0.
Based on
negative what? I think it was slightly better.
No.
Slightly better.
Breeland.
Not much. Slightly better.
Breeland gets the check the box for creativity, for flow. I thought for actual like voice inflection. I didn't think that's what Le'Veon Bell would sound like. And I don't know if there's some T-Pain stuff going on there.
No,
what's
it was
happening?
Definitely some T-Pain stuff going on.
I mean, first of all, how long ago did he make that?
He used like an Instagram filter for his voice.
That can't be new, because unless I was hearing the words wrong, he kept repeating that he wasn't wearing a mask. And I don't know if this is the time to spit that line over and over again. So something tells me that has to be an old rap. Again, I don't think you put Bashaud Breeland's best foot forward. Like
we just picked a random song.
I got caught with the gas and they put me on suspension. Got caught. What do you say? Got dropped in the draft.
I didn't want to play any song that you already know and have a closeness to. We'll go back to playing Bashaud. I'm with you. That song was much better than this song. That song was like nothing but a G thing compared to the song that we just heard. I'd much rather. You know what? I didn't think it could get much worse than that song. I'd much rather go back to that song. I'm giving Le'Veon Bell the slight edge in Drive Idol. I think he's slightly better than Bashaud Breeland. Both terrible. One's drowning to death, one's being burned alive. Two awful ways to die.
Well, maybe that's because individually they're not doing their thing, but if they were to get together, they could be the next Criss Cross.
Okay.
Put the jersey on backwards, do a little jumping around, collaborate a little bit. Like, I actually think those dudes could do it together.
All right, so you're giving Breeland the crown.
Yes.
Here. Breeland's going to Hollywood.
You know I like Breeland. I'm not even playing.
Who are you giving your golden ticket to? Only one can go to Hollywood. Is it Bashaud Breeland or Le'Veon Bell in Drive Idol?
Couple quick notes. Out that Le'Veon Bell song came out April 3rd of 2019. The one we heard from Bashaud Breeland came out September 3rd of 2019. So, yes, he was talking about no mask before COVID. That Le'Veon Bell song was marginally better. I gave 2.5 to Bashaud Breeland.
2.7.
This is going to be like a 2.6, a 2.7. I'm not going to lie. I had the advantage. I saw the music video. Music video is actually not bad. So I'm going to lean Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon's touched real NFL
money.
Have you seen
the Breeland video, though?
Yes. He's just in like a parking garage in front of a Lambo dancing. That's the entire video.
Getting blazed, probably.
Yeah, welcome to rap music videos.
Getting blazed. Let's go to
no
the phone
way.
Line.
They were smoking weed in front of a Lamborghini?
Josh, who do you like more, Bashaud Breeland's rap or Le'Veon Bell's?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. Well, if you're cooling off, that's not very cool, because we need some pretty hot hands on Breeland. On like you got the interception this last weekend, so I would give it to Le'Veon Bell. I don't want to be Breeland to cool off anytime soon. We definitely need him. And at one point, I think Le'Veon said something about 60 mil. Yeah, he got him on the Chiefs minimum. So welcome to Kansas City. I'll take a Le'Veon on this one.
All right. That is why someone on the text line says this is how you find out if you have good friends or not, because no one told Bashaud Breeland or Le'Veon Bell. No, I would have told both of them. That ain't it, brother. That's not it.
Not
whatever
did not
whatever
tell
you
them,
were
no,
trying
got,
to do, that's
they got
not
it. The video. Have you seen how people like? You know, and I'm not saying it's like the juvenile video from 400 Degrees or anything like that, but there's like quite a few of the homies in the video.
Yeah, I mean the homies have clearly led you astray. All right, last one on this, Sean. Who do you have winning Drive Idol, Bashaud Breeland or Le'Veon Bell?
Man, just by an edge, Bell.
I'm with you. Everybody's giving Bell the nod but you here.
It's because you've made them anti-Breeland. Like, when I say that I like Bashaud Breeland, I think people are going, ah, Le'Veon trying to be funny, but he's being corny. Not that one. The caught with the gas and they put me on suspension. I could drop from the draft on some something, something, something. That's the one that I like. Like, I don't have a download or anything like that. I'm played in the car or anything like that. But when you play it, I don't mind it.
Would you listen to Le'Veon? Would you listen to Bashaud Breeland in your free time?
Yes.
So let me
if
think.
He,
right.
After
so like,
COVID, if he plays Grinders, then I will go to the show.
Okay, so I just want to
know. Because he's a Chief player or because of his music?
Because of music.
Okay, so wild. I'm just saying is you're one of the homies with Bashaud Breeland.
Yeah.
The
let it be known.
The stickiest of the icky is being passed around right now.
I didn't say anything to do with that. Man, so it's really neither here nor there.
He takes a hit of the blunt. He then passes it to you and like, yo, dog, you like this? You're going to be like, yeah, it's tight. You're going to say that in that moment to that man, Bashaud Breeland, not telling the truth. Yo, bro, I'm here to tell you. Stick to your day job, bro. That's what I would tell Bashaud Breeland. I would if Bashaud Breeland wants to come on this show, I don't have any football questions to ask him. I want to ask him, is he going to pawn his studio equipment? That's what I want to ask him. He needs to go down to the Gold Nugget. He needs to go down to Cash America Pawn, take your mics, take your mixer, take all of that stuff, and pawn it. Give it to some less fortunate kids and let them be the next Kendrick Lamar. Let them be the next future. Your past. That's who. That's what his rap name should be. Past.
Do you know how many of these guys have taken a crack at rap music? As many rappers that take a shot, you know, that show us their jump shot. We see it. We're like, okay, get back to flowing. I would say that Bashaud Breeland, I'm being dead serious, is in the top 20% of athletes that rap.
Okay, well, I don't even know what to say to that. I think that
I'm saying 4 out of 5 that try it are worse than him.
I think that Bashaud Breeland,
that future beat from that first one was sick.
I think Bashaud Breeland makes Cody Tapp sound like Asher Roth. That's how bad I think Bashaud Breeland
is.
I think he makes him sound like Asher Roth.
You don't believe that.
Rob, you said that we had some breaking news. What is the breaking news? This better be for real breaking news.
It's just real breaking news. According to Silvio De Sousa's Twitter, he is opting out of the 2020 season, and based on a note he put on Twitter, he does not look like he'll be returning to Kansas.
That's breaking news.
That's breaking news. He's the center of an Adidas investigation. He's leaving the school, it looks like.
He
That's
sucks.
News.
He averaged 2 points and 1 rebound, and he hasn't really played.
Rob was quick in my ear. Hey, C-Dot, I got
breaking news for you. This is breaking news.
If we never have to talk about that again, then we can call it breaking
Rob's
news.
Rob's breaking news is that Silvio De Sousa is not playing basketball in Kansas. I knew that.
I knew that, too.
I didn't need you to tell
and
me that.
And if he does play, ain't really playing.
I didn't need you to tell me that was the breaking news. I saw that.
Usually breaking news, Rob, just so you know, it changes the output, like whatever would have happened, it makes a difference. And if Silvio assists on the court or not, not that big of a difference.
Well, I will say this. The last thing, the two biggest things that Silvio De Sousa has given you was an epic brawl against K-State and a postseason ban. So congratulations to Silvio De Sousa. He has now moved Connor Tien's, my favorite Jayhawk of all time. Silvio De Sousa right there, firmly at number 2.
That's why you don't
firmly
bring,
at number
see,
2.
See, Rob, you're learning. That's why you don't bring up stupid breaking news.
News
like this
it's breaking news.
Give Carrington
stand
a shot
behind
at,
breaking news.
So you give him just a
That's
cheap shot
did.
At KU.
Yo, Kansas paid $100,000 for Silvio.
All right, go to break, Rob. Go to break.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
We will get back to the Chiefs coming up momentarily, but we got some earth-shattering breaking news before the break that Silvio De Sousa has announced that he will not be returning to Kansas. He is going to focus on personal matters. I have a very serious question to ask you guys.
What? Silvio De Sousa? No.
I've got a very serious question. Are we calling this KU's all Adidas team? Cliff Alexander, Silvio De Sousa, Josh Selby, Sheck Diallo, and Billy Preston? Is that the all Adidas team?
No comment.
I'm just curious if that's the all Adidas team. I mean, we know Billy Preston's on the all Adidas team. Like, that's not even a question anymore. Everybody knows that. I
can't decide if I should add to this or not. Yeah, I will.
Coach, I'm just curious.
Coach by TJ Gasnola.
I'm just curious to know if that's the case. I know Billy Preston's on the team. I mean, this has to be it. Maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm missing something. But, I mean, Adidas spent a lot of money to get Silvio De Sousa to attend the University of Kansas. Last year, he gave you 2.6 points per game. He got in a major fight with your rival, and he could potentially get you banned from the NCAA tournament.
Well, at least it's
a real
shoe company that sponsors my school. Who's MU sponsored by? Doc Martin?
Nike actually is there a sponsor. They actually have really cool jerseys. No, you should check it out. They're actually really good.
I've heard of them.
I just was curious. I didn't know. I know you guys are both KU alums, KU basketball fans. You had them both winning the NCAA tournament. What seed do you think this team would be in the NCAA tournament with Cliff Alexander, Silvio De Sousa, Josh Selby, Sheck Diallo, and Billy Preston? That's a good three seed.
Yeah, but by KU standards, that's not very good. Like, Bill Self has been a one or a two seed every single year, except for once, as he's been the KU head coach. So you're right. It's probably a three. Cliff Alexander was a nothing. He was, I think, the top high school big man coming out.
Got off to a good start, too. That's like the really weird thing about Cliff Alexander.
It was very, very short lived. And then
Sheck Diallo never got off to a good start.
Diallo didn't do anything. Billy Preston literally didn't do anything. Silvio De Sousa played. And like you said, we're going to remember him for throwing a chair. Honestly, no, that team sucks. That's like a five seed. And Josh Selby, for a team that ended up being, that team was a one seed, right? Selby was like the 10th, but he was like a supporting as Tyrell Reed on that team. He had literally one really good game. It was his first game against USC. It was a big deal. He came back and he hit the game winning shot. And everybody, including me, went, oh my gosh, this guy's the next greatest thing. And he just definitely was not.
Next time we have Jim Sterk on, who's the AD at Missouri, I'm going to say, so if Kansas or when Kansas gets knocked by the NCAA and they can't compete in the NCAA tournament, we should have Silvio De Sousa Day. I'm sure attendance is going to be down for Missouri basketball. You're looking for ways to get people in the stands. If they commemorate Silvio De Sousa ending the Kansas basketball streak and they announce him at halftime and they maybe do like a giveaway or something, that might put 10,000 fans into Mizzou Arena. They could use that kind of boost of attendance. Silvio De Sousa Day at Mizzou Arena. Yeah, I'm here for it.
You're right. That'd be 9,500 more than go to a usual MU game. The thing about the Silvio De Sousa incident was it got kind of dangerous because not only was it in the handicap section, but it also was near the student section. So if that happens at MU, you don't have to worry about it because, well, there's no students.
Text line 913-576-7610. You got to put Zion on the all Adidas KU team. No, my friend, he is on the Duke all Nike team because I think Nike paid a very handsome bag to get Zion Williamson to attend the University of Duke. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Let's take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. You said earlier that you think the Chiefs play to their level of competition. It's very hard to disagree with you based on what we've seen so far this season. So if we're going to go by that logic, and I do think we will see efforts very similar to that we saw against the Los Angeles Chargers this year because the Chiefs are somewhat coasters, I think there's only four circle the games left for the Kansas City Chiefs. Monday against Buffalo, a team who can legitimately be the one seed in the AFC. They play at Vegas on Sunday Night Football. Like, they are not moving that game. You're not taking Patrick Mahomes off Sunday Night Football. The Raiders, I think, are going to be in the playoff picture. It's Vegas. That game is going to be on Sunday Night Football. And especially after that team beat you, if there's any game right now you should have circle and you should be wanting to dish out some payback, it should be against the Las Vegas Raiders. You play them on Sunday Night Football. I would say at Tampa Bay, it's late in the season. There's always going to be that notion to get up for Tom Brady, and they're going to be possibly competing for the NFC South and New Orleans. I think they're also going to be in it through the end of the season. If you're looking at the Chiefs schedule, do you think there's any other games that you have circled? Obviously, they have games in the division, but I don't think there's any other games to circle now after this week outside of at Vegas, at Tampa, and at New Orleans.
Well, nah, you took the good ones. I mean, the other teams that they play are the Denver Broncos, who have won one game, the New York Jets, who have won zero football games. Maybe you'd say Carolina. I tried to tell you about Teddy Bridgewater. They're kind of good. At least they're okay. And then it's Denver again, it's at Miami, and then it's Atlanta and the Chargers. So, yeah, there's not a lot. If you look at the schedule after this week, they will have already played the bulk of what I would call the most difficult games. The most important part about that is if you can beat Buffalo, if we all agree that New England's probably going to be a playoff team, assuming the Cam stays healthy and the whole COVID thing goes not away, but doesn't affect them as much as it has so far, Buffalo's going to be a playoff team, and Baltimore's going to be a playoff team. And if you can beat Buffalo, you've beat all of them. So at least you've got that game in hand if it comes down to it. Remember, this year there's only one team that gets the bye, so it becomes even more important than it's been in the past. So I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to that head-to-head matchup. Kansas City already beat Baltimore. Now you got to go out there and beat Buffalo.
I mean, I think Kansas City's winning this game, and I think if at the beginning of the season, if you tell everybody through the first 6 weeks of the season the Chiefs are going to be 5-1, I think everybody outside of Bob Fesco presses the button and you take the 5-1. Like, you feel really good about where you are. Maybe they're not playing to the level that we thought they were, and it's hard to say that without knowing how they play against Buffalo, but even if they lose this game and you're sitting at 4-2 and the schedule really starts to soften up. I mean, I would say maybe the toughest team left on the schedule maybe is Carolina with how they played so far this season. I mean, you play some dog teams down the stretch of this team's schedule that you've got out of the meat of your schedule, either 4-2 or 5-1. That's a really good position to be in. Now, if you want that one seed, you're going to really need to get going if you lose this game. But if you win this game against Buffalo, you're going to be in prime position to still be the one seed. You obviously got to take care of business. You can't continue to drop games in which you're double digit favorites like they did on Sunday against the Raiders, but you were still in a prime spot with the win on Sunday.
If you lose this game though, and you drop to 4-2, not only are you looking up at Buffalo at 5-1, but Buffalo's beat you, so they got that tiebreaker we were just talking about. If the Raiders win their game, then you're looking up at the Raiders in the division. So it's a big game in the standings because, like we talked about, and even earlier today, like the AFC is a little bit more, I don't know if I would say wide open, because I actually still think it's just like the Chiefs and Baltimore that I actually believe in that have a chance to go to the Super Bowl out of the AFC. But there's a lot more. There's a lot more contenders. There's a lot more good teams. Like, if you talk like Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh's a really, that's a good football team. Cleveland appears to be a pretty good football team. We know Baltimore's a good football team. We know Buffalo's a good football team. The Raiders just beat the Chiefs. So I thought it was going to be a little bit more of a walk in the park than it's been so far because the AFC, they got some teams.
I guess my question would be, and maybe we're talking 6-1 hand and half a dozen in the other, how much of that is maybe the other teams in the division and how much of that is the Chiefs haven't really pulled away? Like, in order to create that gap, the Chiefs got to be running a race that nobody else can keep up with. They haven't really run that race so far. They did for the game against the Baltimore Ravens, but they didn't look like that against the Texans. They didn't look like that against the Chargers or the New England Patriots, and obviously last week in the game in which they lost. Like, I would say for the most part, the teams that I thought were going to be good in the AFC are good. We all thought Buffalo was going to be a contending team. They're a contending team. If we all said with New England, if Cam is good, New England's going to be there. Cam is good, New England is there. Pittsburgh, you really like Pittsburgh at the very beginning of the season. Baltimore, like most of the teams in the AFC that preseason we predicted to be good are good. I would say the difference is the Chiefs maybe aren't overwhelmingly as dominant against the competition as maybe you thought.
Well, there's no doubt about that. But the race that you're talking about, we're at what, like the quarter pole here? In the race, it's a marathon. Now, it goes all the way until the end of the season, which is January 3rd. And some of the teams that you play in between now and then, like we said, are the Broncos and the Jets and the Broncos again and the Dolphins. Rob tells us New Orleans is done. Atlanta might end up with the top pick. So you got to think that the Chiefs are going to rack up a bunch of wins. The only problem with playing this game, Carrington, is what we talked about heading into this segment, where for whatever reason, at least this year, the Chiefs have looked better against better teams, and they've played down to the bad teams. So just to look at the schedule and say, well, they got Denver and the Jets coming up in the next couple of weeks. They just lost to the Raiders, and nobody, not me, not you, nobody on ESPN. We brought on that Hondo Carpenter guy who was a big Raiders honk, and we said, well, how can the Raiders win this game? He said, if the Chiefs don't show up. So nobody was picking the Raiders. My whole point is that we think when we get our pocket schedule, you can put the W's and the L's next to the games. It doesn't work that way, and we've seen it. I mean, it's played out that way where the Chiefs, it's almost better, in my opinion, to have a team like Buffalo than to have a team like Denver, because every time you play a team like Buffalo or New England with the name cachet or Baltimore, Pat plays great, and the Chiefs seem to put out their best performance for whatever reason.
I was thinking back to whenever you do your power rankings, and I think maybe one difference in sort of how we evaluate this team is obviously winning is the number one objective. So it's at the end, it's a pass and fail business. With this team, for me, at least for the foreseeable future, it's going to be the how. Like, I expect this team to win their division for the foreseeable future. I expect this team now, if they're going to expand the playoffs to seven teams, I expect them to consistently be a playoff team with the quarterback that they have. It's much more how do they look in the games. Sure, if we're just looking at the raw numbers, they dominated the New England Patriots. But we watched the game. I didn't get the sense that they dominated the New England Patriots. Like, for this team, so much of it is the last six games of the season. How do you look? Who's healthy? Who's playing well? What are the other teams in the AFC looking like? And are you trending in the right direction? Where last year's team, you want to talk about peaking at the right time and playing your best football at the right time. You can't do a better job of what last year's Kansas City Chiefs did. Defense got right at the proper time. The offense got healthy at the proper time. You also got some lucky breaks or fortuitous breaks, if you want to use that word instead of lucky. Is this team going to be able to put itself in the same place? And I will agree, there is much more competition this year in the AFC. There's five or six legitimately good teams. I don't know how many of those teams are great, and we'll find out between now and the end of the season, but there's at least six good teams in the AFC.
I don't think the Chiefs are, they're not really scary, right now. Like, I feel like even Pat's MVP season about halfway through, I feel like teams kind of got the hint. It was like, oh, crap, this guy's going to put up 40 on us. He's going to throw for probably 5 or 6 touchdowns, and we're not going to be able to stop him. And that Chiefs team was the third highest scoring team in the history of the NFL. And then last year, see, tell me if you feel differently. I felt like teams were scared of the Chiefs. Like, they'd see the Chiefs on the schedule, and then they'd run out the tunnel, and then the game would start, and they'd be like, well, this isn't good. And they'd be down 21-10 early and end up getting their asses kicked. Right now, through the first 5 games of this season, it doesn't appear, for whatever reason, that teams are as scared of the Chiefs as they've been the last couple of years.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to the hits and the top stories of the day in Kansas City. You know how you have a Levine's list?
Mm-hmm.
I have my very own list. Rob, hit the music.
Levine's list.
I only got 3 things on my list.
Oh, though. Well, that's called a Carrington countdown. This is not an official Levine's list.
I've only got 3 things. These are the 3 ways I think Le'Veon Bell immediately helps the Kansas City Chiefs. Number 1 is pass blocking. I remember before the season, one of your big concerns with the young rook, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I've been working on saying his name with the E on it, like my man Steve Levy, was pass blocking scenarios. I think he's been fine, but from everybody that we've talked to and all the research that we've done in this, I think Le'Veon Bell is probably one of the top 10 pass blocking running backs in the NFL. And right now, for an offensive line who appears to be with a fourth of a tank right now, you certainly don't have a full tank, not with the way that Raiders front line absolutely beat you up. Having a little extra protection for Patrick Mahomes is never a bad thing. I think back to the Raiders game, and I felt like Pat was maybe running and leaving the pocket a little bit more than he feels comfortable with. We know Pat for kind of standing in the pocket, being able to stand tall and make those throws down the field. That's not what he was able to do in the second half. If you can't really run some of those things with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you're certainly not going to run it with Darwin Thompson or Darrell Williams. You are going to be able to do so with Le'Veon Bell. I would say the number one way that I think Bell can immediately come in and help the Chiefs, even if he doesn't get 10 carries in their next game, being a viable pass blocker, which could open things up for other people, that's my number one way.
Yeah, and you know how you become a good pass blocker? With size and with experience, which are 2 things that Edwards-Helaire does not have, and Le'Veon Bell does. So there's no question. I'm not going to argue that. He's a much better pass blocker at this point.
My number 2 way that I think Le'Veon Bell can help the Kansas City Chiefs. You said this is not a Levine's list. This is the Carrington countdown. My 3 ways. Number 1 was pass blocking. Number 2, catching the ball out of the backfield. If there's one thing we know about Andy Reid, it's he loves to utilize running backs out of the backfield in the passing game. Listen to the last 3 full seasons for Le'Veon Bell. He had 75 catches for 600 yards with Pittsburgh back in 2016. He had 85 catches for 655 yards in 2017. He obviously missed 2018. He was somewhere hanging out. Last year with the New York Jets, think about all the quarterback situation that they had last year. 66 catches for 461 yards. If you're telling me you're adding that kind of pass catching option, that kind of weapon out of the backfield at a time in which you're losing Sammy Watkins, and regardless of what we feel about Sammy Watkins' contract in the past, we can acknowledge that he opened things up for other players. We had Sean Barber on the show yesterday, and he talked a lot about how since Le'Veon Bell was one of their only good offensive players, how so much of the focus and attention was on. Le'Veon Bell's going to be freed up and open up out of the backfield where it's going to be one-on-one with him against linebackers, one-on-one with him against corners. I'll take my chances with Le'Veon Bell and how much he can dance around in the open field. The number 2 way I think Le'Veon Bell helps this team, catching the ball out of the backfield.
And we were told when the Chiefs drafted Edwards-Helaire, and his college numbers certainly proved that it's true, that he was going to be this great pass catcher out of the backfield, and he hasn't really been that. Now, I don't know if it's him as much as he hasn't gotten the opportunities, but Damian Williams last year was really good at that. I would actually say that was probably his best skill set. So, yeah, if you could add a Le'Veon Bell out of the backfield who's going to average 70 catches a season, that's great.
My last one. So, number 1, I gave you pass blocking. Number 2, I gave you ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Number 3, short yardage situations. I don't know if this counts as anti-chief or not, but I think this is something that we can all identify when we watch this team. Too many times in short yardage situations, and when you got to be a power team, they run finesse type running plays. They got to run those little pop pass plays to Tyreek Hill with misdirection. They got to run end arounds to Mecole Hardman. They don't have the ability on 3rd and short to just turn around and hand the ball off to a guy that they trust to convert. They can't really on 1st and goal from the 2 trust their running back to get into the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has run the ball 7 times inside the 5-yard line and has not scored a touchdown in any of those carries. It's probably killed your fantasy team. It has hurt the Chiefs offense in real life. I think that Le'Veon Bell even if he doesn't come in and have big time numbers, even if he doesn't go back to what he was in 2016, if he can be a guy on third and second that can move the chains, or a guy on first and goal from the four can find a way to get in the end zone, I'll take that this season. Those are my three biggest ways I think Le'Veon Bell can help this team: pass blocking, catching the ball out of the backfield, and also being a short yardage back.
Yeah, and that's why Leno didn't try List. That's why he left it up to Letterman. There are three reasons why I think that this is a huge signing for the Chiefs, but it's not anything that you mentioned. Yeah, he's going to help in pass blocking. He's certainly going to help on the goal line. There's no doubt about any of those things. But where I think he helps you the most is, one, you're going to make it to the playoffs, right? We all agree this team's going to make it to the postseason. And the last thing that you want is to have a rookie running back in the playoffs. I don't care how good that guy is. Once the postseason gets here and the weather becomes colder and the lights get brighter and maybe fans are back, that's when the nerves start to kick in. Not for a guy like Le'Veon Bell. So playoff experience is going to be huge. Two, an insurance policy. Let's say something happens to Clyde. Now, knock on wood, because that'd be awful, but let's say something happens to him.
You'd much rather have Le'Veon Bell than have Darryl Williams.
Hell yes. You'd much rather have him. Like, you can say that much louder and much longer, so you add an insurance policy. And then the third thing is, I don't know how many times you've used a rental car in your life. I know we have when we were down in Miami. You might as well just run that thing into the ground. If they ever ask you, do you want to pay for the insurance? Yes, pay for the insurance. Then if you don't have time to drop that thing back off at the airport before your flight, just leave it on the side of the highway. You paid for the insurance. That's what the Chiefs need to do when it comes to Le'Veon Bell.
I wouldn't advise anybody to do that.
Well, you know, take my advice or leave, whatever you want to do.
I wouldn't advise anybody to do that.
Yeah, play a little bumpers cars. It's enterprise. What does it matter?
We had Sam Munson, a Pro Football Focus, earlier. We asked him if he thinks Le'Veon Bell has anything left in the tank. Here's what he said.
Le'Veon Bell is a great case study for the running backs don't matter crew. You know, he's a perfect example of when he was in a great running back environment behind a perfect offensive line in Pittsburgh with a great offense, good quarterbacks and good receivers, a great scheme. He looked like an all-pro. He looked like a Hall of Famer. Then he goes to the Jets, who are at the other end of that spectrum where everything is bad. No blocking, no quarterback to speak of, no passing game, no scheme helping him out. And suddenly it's, why is Le'Veon Bell, why are his numbers terrible? Does he look like he's done? Is he even the same guy anymore? And I think anywhere in the middle between those two extremes, you're going to see a completely different guy. And I think Kansas City skews more towards the Pittsburgh end of things.
I'm really excited about seeing Le'Veon Bell in a new environment and certainly having more weapons around him. We saw what that looked like in Pittsburgh when he played in a capable offense. He was pretty good. Now, there's no time machine to take us back to 2016, but I do think that he's going to be a viable weapon in this offense. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. So I want to play something for you very quickly before we get to the hits at the top of the hour. Yes. So earlier we had Drive Idol. You picked cornerback Bashaud Breeland's rap. He's saucy, he's cooling, and he also be moving. I don't know if you know that or not. He also be moving. Somebody has decided to enter the Rap Olympics. Cole Beasley. Mm. So Cole Beasley had decided to enter the Rap Olympics.
Now, this is going on. I want to say this. Voice in there, huh?
I want to say this for people that might not know this. Cole Beasley is white. Mm. So let's see if Cole Beasley is a good rapper here. I've never heard Cole Beasley rap. The text line told me that he was a rapper, and they said that he thinks he's a better rapper than both of those individuals that we heard earlier today, Bashaud Breeland and Le'Veon Bell. This is Cole Beasley of the Buffalo Bills rapping.
My flow is pure gold, it's cold back on the mic, flowing, suck the life up out of a beat, like it's light pole, thought I was gone, but I'm never leaving, I'm forever eating, every season is heavy thieving, stealing everything that I can from the man, to my heavy breathing stopping, I'm dead, I ain't got competition leaping off of a ledge, cause they sleeping at first sight like they sleepwalking, what you can't see stalking would turn you to meat at the flea market, I'm hunting for heads, I'm Mike Tyson with the mic biting, strike titans with this god flow like Poseidon. Woo!
Sound like Blind Fury.
Yo, man.
He's the best of the three.
Yo. Cole Beasley can rap.
Of the three, yeah. Yeah, he's by far
Cole
the best.
Beasley can rap.
Yeah, yeah. No,
what you've been saying about Bashaud Breeland? Let's copy and paste that to Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley was rapping right there.
His flow was much better. He didn't. That wasn't his own beat, though, obviously. We all know that beat. But Bashaud Breeland's beat is what I like. Like, I genuinely like the beat. The lyrics, the flow, it's okay. Cole Beasley had some real
flow.
No,
Cole
there.
Beasley can really rap.
No,
I was surprised to hear that from Cole Beasley. I can't believe that. Can we trade for Cole Beasley?
No.
Somebody get so. Brett Veach on the phone. Tell him we'll trade a third round pick for Cole Beasley today.
He was that good. You wanted to trade a third round pick.
We'll give him. All right. How about this? We'll give him Bashaud Breeland and a pound of Kush. We know he has it, allegedly. We'll trade that for Cole Beasley. Because what I just heard from Cole Beasley, I'm playing Cole Beasley on the way out of here. It's the drive.
My flow is pure gold, it's cold back on the mic, throwing something like a bite of a beat, like it's light bow, thought I was gone, but I'm never leaving, I'm forever eating, every season is heavy thieving, stealing everything that I can from the man, so my heavy breathing stopping, I'm dead, I ain't got competition leaping off of a ledge, cause they sleeping at first sight like they sleepwalking, what you can't see stalking would turn you to meat at the flea market, I'm hunting for heads, I'm Mike Tyson with the mic biting, strike titans with this god flow like Poseidon. Woo!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.